How are the Sabbath and worship related? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas. This is Good Word, a little commentary on a lesson produced by the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Welcome, and welcome to two colleagues, Pedrito Maynard Reed, a New Testament professor, Alden Thompson, Old Testament professor. Gentlemen, the lesson today asks us to consider the subject that appears very early in the book of Genesis about the Sabbath and worship. I think we're acquainted with the fact that in the Genesis account of creation, it ends with the seventh day being declared a Sabbath, a holy day. I wonder if we could discuss here a little bit about the Sabbath, why God established it in the beginning. What does this word sanctify mean? Can you offer any thoughts on those subjects here today?
The word sanctify, the same word for holy, the same word for saint, it means not sinless or anything like that. It simply means special. Mm-hmm. And when God sanctified the Sabbath, or when God sanctifies you, or when God makes you holy, it simply means that you're special. And it means that this day is a very special day. And it's a whole day, the entire day. I grew up, and I may talk more as we go along, because Sabbath for me, my mother brought up three boys up where that day became so special. And we guarded it, not legalistically necessarily, but because it was such a special day.
It took you away from all the business of living.
All the business of living. And you know, African Americans, they spend a lot of time in church on Sabbath because it takes you away from the humdrum of the world and the difficulties that they face.
It even includes lunch, right?
It even includes lunch. And I got to church at 8:30 on Sabbath morning, and I was not home till 11 o'clock at night because it was such a special day. It spilled over. Mm-hmm. And I was happy because I could focus on God and His people. It was a more than 24 hours of worship. Mm-hmm. It was in God's presence and in the people's special. It was special. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what Sabbath is all about.
So what do you think about this connection between Sabbath and creation? Is that something that we should make? Is that a connection we should make? How does worship fit into that dynamic? Any comments?
What makes, and I'll turn over to Alden in just a minute, what makes Christianity and the Judaism Christian religion so important is the Sabbath, because there is no, that weekly cycle is simply biblical. It's arbitrary. God.
Yeah, there's no other place in history you can look for the justification.
Right. There is no sun going around anything, or the earth spinning,
or the moon, or anything.
It's simply because God says, I end the week with a special day. Seven days, make it.
But it is true that in history we find no other explanation for the weekly cycle.
There is no other explanation. Therefore, you have to accept God as creator for you to accept the Sabbath. And if you accept God, if you accept the Sabbath, you accept automatically, you believe that God is your creator.
Okay.
So it's very, very special.
And so then Sabbath as a day of worship, it again is a day of commemoration and a day of being reminded and a day of rejoicing in the great acts that God has done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me that what the creation does, and it's very interesting in the Old Testament, is you rest. But when you get to Jesus' New Testament miracles on the Sabbath, especially in the Gospel of John, he talks about doing the works.
Mm.
So you have a tension between rest in the Old Testament and works in the New Testament, but both are given for the benefit of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, and sometimes doing good is arduous, right?
That can be, yes. But I like someone has said that on Sabbath you are forbidden to worry about all those things that you worried about during the week.
And actually the prohibition against work there, as I understand it, is a prohibition against using that as a day to earn your living. That's right?
Absolutely right.
It's not a prohibition against any kind of work. Otherwise you wouldn't even get out of
bed.
But
it is a liberating prohibition.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to fuss about the business of earning your daily bread on the Sabbath. That's the day when you let all that stuff go by, And I know as one who has enjoyed the Sabbath for all my life, that's one of the primary blessings. I get up and I think to myself, you know, I don't have to concern myself with that. And at the same time, I'm reminded of the creatorship of God. So.
But so often we spend time thinking about the Sabbath as rest. I want to, a Sabbath is made to go to worship at St. Mattress, doing lay activities, you know, listening to Pass the Pillow, you know, wrapped up in the Holy Comforter, you know, all day. We call that rest. But when we look at Jesus, Alden rightly points out, it's where we take us away from ourselves. By just resting, we're still focusing on myself. By using the Sabbath to bless others. To me, that's the greatest rest.
And to enjoy fellowship.
To enjoy fellowship.
Yeah.
It's the most tremendous. But we many times look, we go to church as a duty because we feel God is going to zap us if we don't go to church. Worship, corporate worship, and we haven't gotten to this yet to make the distinction between personal worship and corporate worship. We may get to that. But corporate worship is essential for God's people because that's when we come together.
Yeah.
When creation all comes together in special adoration to God. And the Sabbath is the most important part of the week for that.
Yeah. And if I can jump all the way to the book of Revelation, you know, in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, you have these three angels who are announcing, as it were, the last word to humanity prior to the establishment of the kingdom of God. And, you know, in verses 6 and 7 of Revelation 14, you have this angel flying in the midst of heaven, calling out with a loud voice, saying that people should fear God, give glory to him, and worship him who made heaven and earth, for the hour of his judgment has come. So it appears that this issue brackets scripture. Would I be correct in that observation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think the hour of his judgment has come. I think we in Western countries have a very negative view of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to think of it with fear and trembling, mm-hmm. whereas in a biblical model, especially Old Testament, but I think this is covered in Revelation as well, it's more instead of here comes a judge, everybody watch out, it's more like somebody been beaten up on you, you know, let's go get him. And that's why that book in the Old Testament is called Judges.
Yeah.
It's more like what we would call a prosecuting attorney who comes to the defense of the widows and the helpless.
And I like the comment in the book of Daniel that judgment was given in favor.
That's exactly right.
Of the saints.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we could look at judgment really as the person who is my judge is also my attorney.
Yes.
Just imagine the attorney who is representing you goes in the back room, takes off his attorney suit, puts on his judge robe, and sits to make judgment. Now, what judgment do you think he's going to make? It's going to be in your favor.
Especially if there's evidence that you have been accused falsely.
Exactly. Zechariah 3.
So, well, what should we make of this comment to remember the Sabbath day? Because, I mean, none of the other commandments have that in it. They have prohibitions of various kinds and exhortations, but this one is actually has a proviso or an inclusion here that we should remember this.
And remember there, it's coming out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
At 300 odd years, they had gone, and I think they must have forgotten a lot about this special day. And they were forgetting it. That's why they ran and they picked up manna on the seventh day also. They were going back in their old ways. And he had to remind them and say, remember, this is easy to forget. It's one of those commandments that is very easy to forget. But what I like,
it has no link to anything other than the word.
That's right. But what I like about this, and something that is, I think, mentioned in the lesson, is that we have this commandment in two places, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. We many times only focus on the Exodus one, which ties it to creation. We forget the Deuteronomy one that ties it to redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come to me and say, you know, but creation, why are you as a New Testament person still keeping the Sabbath? The first thing I tell them, because I'm delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus died for me.
Mm-hmm.
In Deuteronomy 5 says, because I brought you out of the land of Egypt, therefore, yeah. I want you to keep the Sabbath day. Yeah. Because Jesus died for me, yeah. therefore, I want to keep his commandments.
And it is true, if you follow the Gospels at face value, and I know there's some controversy over the day on which Jesus died, but a face-up reading would suggest he died on Friday, rested on Sabbath, and then rose on Sunday. So you can also find a link between the experience of Christ at Calvary and post-Calvary with this, with these other two links that you talked about.
Exactly, and that's why many of them, throughout the New Testament, you find all the apostles, every Sabbath, yeah. they spent time worshiping or yeah. recognizing this special day.
Now, Exodus 31 is interesting because it establishes the Sabbath as a perpetual sign between God and his people. So, Alden, you have any comments on that? I've heard you have a few along the way, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I do.
Well, the Sabbath is, in terms of the rhythm in which we keep, it seems to me that our recognition of the Sabbath is recognizing that God is our creator, and as Pedrito just mentioned, he is also our redeemer. And it simply comes a marker when you remember that. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the, I mean, you've got the month, you've got the seasons, you've got the year, but the Sabbath, the week, it just is there. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many languages there are where the name for the seventh day echoes that idea of rest, a particular
yeah.
blessing.
Yeah.
So it's simply a way of saying, this is the mark that I belong to that God who created me mm-hmm. and redeemed me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how you would interpret the idea of Sabbath being a sign. It's not a humanly created one, but it's a humanly revered one.
Well, when I look at the Ten Commandments, for example, all of them make very good sense rationally, except the fourth command. And the fourth command is like an anniversary. Mm-hmm. Now, in America, we have ruined that. For instance, our national holidays, we move them all to Monday so we can have a long weekend.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything, you see.
Yeah.
But when you take the Sabbath as a memorial, then it becomes terribly important for us and a sign. This is the God that I serve.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we go back to it to make it special. It's sanctified. It's a mm-hmm. very special occasion that mm-hmm. we should make very special, mm-hmm. even weekly. Mm-hmm. I still wear Sabbath clothes that I don't wear in the week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not legalistically, but because it just feels special.
Yeah, I know that there is something about dressing up, isn't there? Huh? I see people who, when they get dressed up for exams, they feel better prepared for themselves.
You're absolutely right.
And I like the idea of the Sabbath being aesthetically pleasing. So mm-hmm. I think there should be beauty. And it's fine to dress up, even wear a hat, right, Pedro?
Yes, and even if there are any Jamaicans listening to this, you know, to have that Jamaican potato pudding, hella top, hella bottom, hallelujah in the middle, this is great stuff.
So even a feast. So.
A feast.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's interesting, this discussion of Sabbath as a reminder of God's creative and redemptive power, one that's given to us to commemorate. So my thanks to you for being here. My thanks also to Chad Ofterhauer, who is our engineer. And my thanks to those of you for listening. For the good word, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.